desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word. And I was just, I guess it was last night, I was meditating and reflecting, and I feel very privileged to be able to read from the Book of Life. It is wonderful that we can come, and I know there are good books out there, and there have been books that have been written by godly people, but there is nothing that compares to the Book of Life. Because in the Word of God, this is our instruction. This is where we find our hope. It's where we find courage. And it's where we find God's expectations for us. I'd like to begin with a very familiar scene, but yet a very poignant scene that Jesus painted for us in the 25th chapter of Matthew. We'll begin reading with verse 31. It said, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations." Now keep in mind, this was a picture that Jesus gave us of the judgment. And when Jesus starts talking about the judgment, I think we ought to take note. It's worthy of us paying a lot of attention, because all of us are going to stand before God at the judgment. And here we see Jesus Christ in all of His glory. No longer is this the Savior in the manger. This is the Savior that is seated upon His throne of judgment in all His glory and majesty. And He sits on His throne, and all nations are going to be gathered before Him. And it said before Him that be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. There is going to come a time that Jesus Christ is going to separate the saved from the unsaved, the saint from the sinner, those that are doing right from those that are doing wrong. Do you know that even in the time of Christ, there was a mixed multitude that followed Him? I've had people be very disturbed before when they begin talking about the church of God, and they would look at congregations and they say, but what about this one and what about that one and what about this? The answer is a mixed multitude followed Christ. There is nowhere in the world I would rather the sinner be than under the sound of the gospel. And there was a mixed multitude that followed Christ Himself. The time of separating is at the judgment. Now, truth has a way of separating as well in this life. But Christ is the one that is going to stand, or He's going to be on His throne, and He's going to stand as our judge, and He's going to start separating us. I want to know how the Lord's going to call things. In other words, I want to know what criteria is Jesus going to use to separate the goats from the sheep? Because I want to be on the sheep side. I want to be on the side that the Lord Jesus says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So I want to remind us of this again. This is the Book of Life. I am not reading to you of my opinions this morning. I am not reading to you of what I think about the issue. I want to tell you what Jesus said. And the reason I clarify that is, there have been those in my lifetime that have questioned these issues with me. And so I want to let it be known this morning that these are the words of life. And this is what Jesus said. So He's giving us a picture of the judgment, and I want to know, how is the Lord going to separate these people? Well, let's read on then. It said, "He shall set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left. And the King shall say to them on His right hand, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." You want those to be the words you hear? Well done. Inherit the kingdom, eternal recompense this morning. The Lord has, we have blessings in this life. But folks, if we will do what the Lord says, there's going to come a time that the Lord is going to keep giving and giving and blessing for eternity. So what do I need to do to inherit those blessings? Jesus gave us the answer, and these are the words of the Christ Himself. "For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger. You took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And then the righteous will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, and when did we give you to drink? And they went through the same list, and it says, the King shall answer unto them. Folks, these are the words of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is not something that the ministers came up with. This is not something that was voted on by the Congress. This is not a declaration of a pastor somewhere. These are the words of the King of Kings. He said, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And then he turned to those on his left hand and he said, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, eternal damnation, separate. I don't know who you are. He said, because I was hungry and you didn't give me any meat. He said, I was thirsty and you didn't give me to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't take me in. And I was naked and you didn't clothe me. And I was in prison and you didn't visit me. And then they also will ask and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or athirst? And he shall verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. Saints, Jesus was not negating the importance of a born again, washed in the blood of Christ, salvation experience. I want us to understand, everybody that enters into heaven must go through the blood of Jesus Christ. But we have here, in the words of Christ himself, teaching us that it is important to remember the poor. It is important to do acts of charity. It is important because Jesus, when he laid the foundation for a New Testament experience with God, the greatest commandment was what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And he said, and second, what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. It was so closely aligned, the love that we have for our fellow man is so closely tied to our love for God. If we say we love God and love not our brother, how dwelleth the love of God in us? And so at the judgment scene, we can say Jesus was judging based on works. Was he not? Sounds like works to me. I was hungry and you didn't give me something to eat. And I was in prison. He did not say I was unjustly incarcerated. He said I was in prison and you didn't visit me. He said, he didn't say, well, whether I was worthy or not. He said, no, I was naked and I didn't have clothes. And you came and you gave me some clothes. Jesus judged based on works of charity. All right? And this is the book of life. It was on works. Well, how do we love our neighbor? That's the question the lawyer asked Jesus. When they agreed that you love God most first, and then you second, you love your neighbor. And remember, the lawyer said, but who is my neighbor? In other words, maybe I can find a way around this thing. Who is my neighbor? And then Jesus gave the story of the Good Samaritan. And it was not the priest that got the accolades from Christ. The one who prayed. The one who was faithful to be in service. That's not the one that Jesus gave as an example. The one that Christ gave as an example. Yes, the Samaritan, the one who was ostracized and segregated from the Jews. But the one that stopped, got his hands dirty and cleaned up the wounds of that Jewish man, gave him a drink, put him on his donkey and took him to the inn and pulled out his billfold and paid for his lodging and said, you take care of this man, and if I owe you anything more, I'm going to come back and I'm going to pay you. What did the Samaritan get out of that? He didn't even know the man. And Jesus said, that is who your neighbor is. My friend, this morning, I want to remind us, doctrine is important. And I'll speak personally. Doctrine is very important. It's important to me. There's part of my ministry. But I want us to say this, understand today that with all of the doctrines that are in the Word of God, we can pray and we can fast and we can come to service and we can believe in full immersion baptism and we can believe the kingdom of God is within us just like Jesus said it is. And we can have all of our doctrines down and we can dress modestly and we can put up an outward appearance of holiness to the world, and all those things we should do. But let's not forget this. Jesus taught us that one of the driving principles of Christian living is deeds of charity and remembering the poor. I'm praying for you, brother. If you're praying for men and you have the ability to help them, then help them. This is what Jesus was trying to communicate to us. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, this teaching begins to get lost in all the other doctrines that the Bible teaches us. But Jesus brought this one to the forefront. And when you begin to study this subject, you will begin to see how much it's taught about. This is taught a whole lot more than most of the other doctrines that we believe this morning. Did you all know that? So what ought to define us as a people? Modesty? So it should be. That we believe in full immersion baptism? So it should be. Because that's part of the truth. But what ought to be the identifying mark of us as a people is that we love our neighbor like ourselves. And that we are actively doing acts and deeds of kindness and charity for people in our world, that people would look on and say, those people are different. They give. They do. They sacrifice for people. I am inspired by the words of life this morning. Hereby, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He did what? He laid down His life for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods and sees his brother hath need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Do you realize the context of that? He was talking about doing good for people. If you come and you see someone that has need, and you don't have compassion for them, enough compassion to give of your time and your energy and your money, and you don't have enough compassion to be moved to action, John said, how does the love of God even dwell in you? This is so closely integrated in our Christian experience. I say, Lord, help us to rise. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to do better, Lord, and have a Samaritan's vision. Help us to have the vision of the Samaritan for those that are in pain around us, for those that are hurting around us, that we would reach out and minister to them. As children of God, our lives should consist of regular sacrifice and effort in behalf of people in need. And I will say, if it doesn't, we are not fulfilling the call of God in our life. Jesus himself went about doing good. The scripture said Jesus went about doing good. You know, Jesus fed the multitudes himself. And I have struggled a little bit with this, just to some degree, because sometimes if you minister to the needy and you minister materially, you give them food. You give them blankets. You give them, you visit them and when they're sick. You give them soup and then you preach a message to them. You say, well, why are the people here? They're here to get a bowl of soup. Do you know that they did that in the time of Christ? And Jesus still fed them. All right? So whatever you think about it and I think about it is really doesn't matter now that we know what Jesus did. He told the multitudes, he said, some of you are following me for the loaves and the fishes. But he still fed them. He still ministered to them. He still healed them. There were people that followed Jesus for the very reason, I just want to get healed. I want what you can minister to me. And we say, well, I think that we would do better not to give it out because I think they're just coming for a bowl of soup and some soap. I'll tell you, Brother John Varghese, and when he came over here years ago, I was a child. And as I grew older, I kind of thought, well, I wasn't quite sure he was right. I'll just tell you, I kind of questioned. I'll tell you what, I'm coming around. Brother John Varghese said when he first came over to the United States, he said, soap, soup, and salvation. He said, you want to preach the gospel to people, do it to give them some soap to clean up and give them some soup so they can have a full belly and then tell them about Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, well, would that begin to conflict with the purity of the gospel message? Well, guess what? When you begin to study the Word of God, it's like, ah, Jesus did teach soap, soup, and salvation. That's what He did teach. He said, I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. You all weren't giving me soup, and I was hungry, and you were over here just preaching the gospel, but there was someone showing me the gospel. There was someone that gave me a bar of soap when I was dirty. There was someone that showed me what love was, and I really didn't understand what that was, but I saw Jesus. Because you gave me a bowl of soup. Folks, this is our call this morning. Lord, help us. Do you know that historians, well, before I go there, people say, is charity the gospel work? You ever heard that kind of question? I say without apology this morning that works of charity is the gospel work. If you would have asked me 10 years ago, I would have had to, well, now... It's here. This is our call. This is Jesus. This is showing love. Second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. See your neighbor in need? Help them out. You see someone that is hurting? Be there. Be a friend to them. This is love. And this is what we're called to. We won't take the time to read all the scriptures that deal with it, but you will find in the book of Romans and the book of Acts that repeatedly the early morning church was taking up offerings for the poor. They were taking up collections. The church in Jerusalem went through a number of years of famine. They were hungry. And one of the things you will find is that often collections were being taken up to send to the poor saints. Who are we supposed to help? The scripture says, as you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto who? All men. That means some of them aren't going to deserve it. It means some of them may not be worthy of it. Well, I don't know if they're really worthy of it. If someone is hungry, they are worthy as a creation of God to have some food in their belly. As you have therefore opportunity, he said, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. In other words, we have to be led by the Spirit. I cannot give to every beggar that I pass by. I'm not going to give them money to enable them to go buy alcohol, and I don't have enough money, I don't have enough material things to give to everybody. But what the Lord is teaching us is that we need to regularly be sacrificing and giving for those that have need. And that means especially to them that are the household of faith. You know, there's something wrong with the picture. If I'm sitting in service, that would be my wife, but if I'm sitting by someone in service that's going hungry, and I'm going out donating to the Red Cross, now, understand me now. I'm not saying anything's wrong with donating to the Red Cross necessarily. I've got some good areas you can give 100% will go to the need though. But do you realize that that's why the Lord said, the scripture says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. There's someone right in our midst that has a need and we're going out giving to all of our neighbors and everybody else. And someone right in our midst doesn't have money to pay their bills. That's why he said what he did. Do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And then it broadens out, and we all need to be led by the Spirit. You know, some say, well, I don't know whether I should give here or not. ask the Lord. But there are enough needs in our world today that we shouldn't be saying, I just don't know who to help. If you don't know who to help, start talking to people, because I've got lots of people that need help. And that's not why I'm preaching this message. But I want us to understand I've been inspired. I've been challenged by it, that this is what defined to a large extent the early morning church, was their deeds of charity. I want to read to you what some of the early church writers said. And I was moved to tears when I first read it. And before I read it, some of the historians have suggested that these acts of charity were actually one of the primary drivers of the rapid expansion of Christianity in the early morning church. We say, was it just the gospel? Was it saying, have you been fully immersed, my brother? Do you know the kingdom of God? That was part of it. I'm not delineating or separating and destroying that. Those things are important. It gives the skeleton, see? It gives the framework, doctrinal framework of who we are to be. But it was the deeds and acts of love that define them. And you say, how did that cause Christianity to spread? Because there were people that loved God that took to heart, I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. And if this person has a need, individually, as our families, as a congregation, we come together to meet the need that somebody has. And the world looks on and say, wow, I want to be part of that. And we say, well, you just came for the soup. Thank God for the soup then. If they can hear some of the gospel, maybe we can get 1 out of 1,000 because of the soup. But someone has seen the love of God through ministering to the physical needs of people. Amen? This is what Clement of Rome in 96 AD, this is what he said. We know many among us who have given or sold themselves into bondage. In other words, there were some among us that sold themselves into slavery in order that they might ransom others. Many, too, have surrendered themselves to slavery that with the price which they received for themselves, they might provide food for others. You want to talk about extraordinary sacrificial giving. They did not give of their abundance. There are some folks over here that are going hungry and I don't have any money. I'll go sell myself as a slave and take the money that I get that someone could have food in their belly. I say, Lord, help us. That kind of sacrifice. Hermas of Rome, at about the same time period, a little bit later, he said, on the day in which you fast, you shall taste nothing except bread and water. Of the food which you are going to eat, reckon how much the food of that day when you fast was going to cost, and give the amount to a widow or orphan or one in need. See, fasting, instead of just saying, I'm depriving myself, I'm going to take the money. I was going to go through McDonald's drive-thru. How much would it cost? $2, $3, $4, $5. Instead of doing that, I'm going to take that money and I'm going to give it to someone in need. This is the pattern of life that they had in the early morning church. Aristides in 125 AD said, if there is among them any that is poor and needy, and if they have no spare food, they fast 2 or 3 days in order to supply the needy for their lack of food. In other words, if there are people that we know that are going hungry and have needs in their life, what the church would do is they would fast, not just for the purpose of attaining faith with God, but they would fast so I'm not eating this food, so I'll have more food in the pantry that I can now take that food and give to someone that has need. Pretty powerful, isn't it? You realize this is our heritage this morning? Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works. Folks, we're not saved by good works this morning. We are saved by grace through faith. But we are to be have acts of good works. Why? That they may glorify the Father which is in heaven. It's not to get your name on a plaque. It's not to get recognition. But do you know that when you do good works, it would be that people would see something different and see the love of God? I had opportunity Friday night after children's meeting. I know we were all tired when we left, and I didn't want Renee out. It was late, and I knew she was tired. I said, she needed some stuff at the store, and I said, I'll go to the store for you. Just send me the list. So I went to Walmart, and they were just, their produce department was just decimated. They had rows of stuff that was just completely empty. So there were three things that Renee needed that it wasn't there. They didn't have it. So I thought, okay, what do I do? And I was on the phone with her, and she's like, that's fine, just come home. But I thought, well, you're still going to have to get out later. It's 10:30 at night. So I was like, well, tell you what, I'll stop at another grocery store and see if I can find it. So I go to Price Cutter and Nixa. They only had one thing that I needed, and I was still going to, and the other stuff they were out of as well. I was still going to have to go back. So it was a wasted trip to Price Cutter. But I stood in line with my little yellow zucchini, or yellow squash, rather, and I stood in line, and the man in front of me was buying some alcohol. And the man in front of him, I couldn't really see him that well. I was just waiting. And I overheard the cashier said, that'll be $71. And I heard the man, I heard the disappointment in his voice, and he said, oh, I was thinking it was going to be under 60. And he had $60 in his hand. That's all he had. And I kind of tried to look up to see, be sure he didn't have any alcohol in his stuff. And he tried to start going through his sacks to pull out what he didn't need. And I'm not telling this to lift me up at all. I want you to get a point here. And I was sitting back there and I thought, it's $11. It's $11. I said, how much do you need? I said, $11. And so I pulled out $11 and I handed the cashier. I said, here, just keep it. And he said, thank you. He said, I'll leave money with the cashier. You can come back. And I said, no, that's fine. It's no big deal. Just keep it. And he was just in awe. And he said, God bless you. He said, I'm going to be praying for you. And we got in a discussion over the cashier and the man buying alcohol. And the guy with the alcohol was kind of, you could see he was getting uncomfortable. And when the other guy left, he said, I'm kind of feeling like the bad guy here. Well, when I left to go load my groceries in the car, my sack, my little yellow squash, when I went out to the car, the man that I had talked to was standing right there putting his groceries in his car. And he told me, he said, I'm on disability. And he said, young people think, oh, I ought to be on disability. He said, you just want to do this to them. He said, my wife and I are making it. He said, we don't have cell phones. He said, we don't have internet. He said, it's amazing what people can get by on when you need to. He said, we're making it. And he said, tonight, he said, was my 31st anniversary. He said, I've been married 31 years. And he said, I told my wife, I'm going to go buy things. I'm going to make tacos and I'm going to do such and such. I thought maybe that's why Walmart was out of food, because I sure didn't get anything at Price Cutter. And I thought, you know, he began to talk about, he said, and he didn't know, he still doesn't know I'm a preacher. That wasn't the point.
Well, I'm a preacher.
No. It was $11. But when the cashier told him, he said, to have a nice night, he said, I already have. And he went out and he said, and he began to talk about the Lord, and he wasn't doing it because he was trying to please me. He was talking about the Lord, and he said, you know what, there's not very many people left that are wanting to do right in our world. And I came home, and I was like, you know, this is what the Bible's talking about. It wasn't glorifying to me. I will probably never see the man again, and it was $11. It wasn't very much. It was not a sacrifice for me. It was $11. But I still think that man went away glorifying God. When he walked in the door, I don't know what he said to his wife, but I will tell you, God was glorified that night. He wasn't there glorifying me, but he was lifting up God, that the Lord looked down on his knee. And I told him, I said, it's all right. I said, there are a lot of people that have done so much for me. so much more than $11 when I was in need. Folks, this is what it means to serve the Lord this morning. It's about doing good for other people and sacrificing. This is, I don't have time this morning, but I do want to, the scripture over in Ephesians 4:28, it's amazing to me that the context of this. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good. And we end there. We stop there. Those that are stealing, don't steal anymore so you can be honest people. Why be honest? Why work with your hands? He said that he may give to him that needeth. Wow. Stop stealing and work with your hands so you can have something to give to someone else. This is simple Christian living. How simple, but Lord, help us to sacrifice like this. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Why? Lest any man should boast. We can't earn our way into heaven. We're not going to get into heaven because we've done all of these good works. But the scripture goes on to say this, for we are his workmanship, created into Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're not saved by good works, but if you don't have good works, it'll unsave you. It'll unsave, they won't save you, but they'll unsave you because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. And I was in prison and yeah, I deserved it. Or maybe I didn't, but you didn't come visit me. Folks, it was before ordained that we should walk in good works. There are so many scriptures that teach us, be rich in good works, ready to distribute. Be careful, another scripture says, be careful to maintain good works. Why do we need to be careful about it? I'll tell you why I have to be careful, because we get so busy. We get so busy, and the more that if you have a little bit extra, you can do a little bit extra for yourself. But what does the Bible say? Be careful to maintain good works that you might distribute to someone else. That you can give someone a blanket. That you can buy someone else some corn to feed their family. And maybe you say, well, I'm poor and I don't have any money. Well, Jesus said, I was sick and you visited me. And I thought those that don't have any money, you could go maybe help in other countries. You could go help them plow the field. Maybe you don't have any corn to give them, but brother, let me help you. I know you have a sickness. Let me plow your field for you. I know you're sick. Let me come and minister to you and I'll clean your house. I'll pray for you, but I'll be by your side. It's not all about money. It's about time and it's about sacrifice. It's about giving of ourselves. And we say, is this gospel work? The answer to that is yes, saints. This is the work of the Lord. This is gospel work. Giving, sacrificing, deeds and acts of charity. And what is pure religion? We want pure religion this morning. Do we want true faith? Well, we want to be the most modest congregation amongst the saints. That's wonderful. We want to have the most doctrinal understanding. Go for it. I want you to. I want us all, everywhere. I want everybody to grow in doctrine and in knowledge and truth. But what is pure religion? Pure religion is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So holiness is combined with this. But see, often amongst us, and I'm just preaching to home folks now, amongst us, pure religion is solely tied with holiness. But the scripture teaches that true, pure religion is acts of charity coupled with holiness. Keep yourself unspotted from the world, but be there sacrificing, visiting the fatherless. And then people say, are we enabling them by giving to them? Am I enabling my children to put food in front of them at night? What am I enabling to do? I'm enabling them to live. Orphans don't have someone to care for them. They need someone to step up to the plate and sacrifice for their needs. The widows in their affliction, widows indeed were widows that did not have older children to care for them. That's what it was talking about if you want to study it out another time. But widows indeed are someone that has washed the saints' feet. Someone, a widow that has been worthy, has given of herself to the Lord, but now there's no one to provide for. Pure religion is doing for her. Now, what is true faith? The book of James tells us, as you all know, you study the scripture, true faith, what is that? My faith, I can move mountains. I have cast out devils and healed the sick. And we say, that's wonderful. You know what true faith is? True faith is shown by what? Shown by our works. You say you have faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. That's what James said. He said, how can you look and say, oh, you see a brother in need, and we come along and say, oh, be warmed and filled, my brother, my sister. I'm praying for you. I love you. I'm praying for you. He said, how can you do that? I am praying for you. Let me give you some money. Let me help you in your need. I'm going to keep it. Do you realize that that's true faith? True faith, we can be caught up in our prayers. Pray. It's important, folks. But who is God going to listen to? The one that is praying and keeping their time and their money in their own life, or someone who is praying and out distributing to the needs of people that have needs. I believe the Lord's going to hear the prayer because true faith brings about action in our life. What kind of action? Deeds of kindness and acts of charity. I want pure religion this morning. I want true faith. Jesus himself said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I trust this morning that we will have, Lord, give us a Samaritan's vision. I want to read as we close from the book of Job. And I'm going to not read all of it, but it is a beautiful passage. Job's prayer found in the 31st chapter. Job said, if I have withheld from the poor, from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless hath not eaten thereof, if I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he was not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless, when I saw my help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder blade and mine arm be broken from the bone. This was Job. Lord, help me to see the needs of people around me. Close to home, far away. I wrote on the board, remember the poor. You will find that passage in the book of Galatians in the 2nd chapter. Paul was fixing to go minister to the Gentiles. And James and John gave him some instruction as he left. Their instruction was, remember the poor. And I encourage us this morning, may the Lord give us a greater vision than what we have had about what it really means to serve the Lord. Holiness, keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, yes. But it is tied with us actively demonstrating our love for our fellow man through physical deeds and acts of charity. Lord, help us to remember the poor. Amen.